Right, good morning everybody. This occasion, the theme is making the most of the Yomim Noroim. So it's not going to be a halachic shiur, but just a few practical hints that I'd like to share with you, some things which I found was useful, and ideas to help us and to see what we can get out of the Yomim Noroim. Of course, the first thing that we have to know is, like everything else, preparation. That anything that you take seriously in life, you've got to have preparation, whether it's for your holidays, whether it's for a court case, whatever it is. If you don't prepare for it, then it's hardly worth anything. I think the Chassidim usually say that a honor for a mitzvah is even more than a mitzvah. So we've got the whole of Chodesh Elul, which has been dedicated to preparing for the Yom Noroim. Some people even go further, even start in Av already. They say Av. Av Beis stands for Elul Bo, you know, soon coming Elul. So when you go on holidays, you know, remember Elul is coming soon. But at any rate, Elul is, we don't find the name Elul in the Torah. It is mentioned Tanakh, but in the Torah, the months are just called Yom Harish, B'chaydash Harishon, B'chaydash Sheni, B'chaydash Shvi'i, and Elul would be the Chodesh HaShishi. And in its capacity as Chodesh HaShishi, we know that Shishi is always, the Yom HaShishi is the time for preparing for Shabbos. The Shishi is preparation for the Shvi'i. The Gemara says, if a person doesn't prepare food on Erev Shabbos, Ma Yoichal B'Shabbos, will come Shabbos, he'll have nothing to eat. So if you don't prepare in Elul, then will be often vague when it comes to the Chodesh HaShvi. So we have various reminders throughout Elul that it is Elul. We have the shofar every single morning, the Dovid Hashem Oyer Yishi, to remind us. And I always feel that we have a very clear indication of the actual countdown to Rosh Hashanah, to make us realize how near we are to Rosh Hashanah. There's a big like an egg timer up in the sky. Every night you take a look at the moon, that's what the moon is, we go by the moon, you take one look at the moon and you say, oh my, you know, it's already a full moon, it's already means there's only 2 weeks left till Rosh Hashanah. A few days later it's only half the moon, there's only 1 week left till Rosh Hashanah. Then it gets smaller and smaller. You can actually see, and if you're aware of what's on around you, as you're walking through the street at night, you take one look at the sky, you take your eyes up to heaven, and you see it tells you clearly exactly how much time the countdown to Rosh Hashanah. So let me tell you a story that happened to me some years ago, and it always makes me think a little bit. I had a new girl, I was tshuva, she was coming for the first time. I invited her around for supper. It was one of the days between Yom Kippur and Sukkot. It was a very busy time. She came to me, she'd never been in an Orthodox house, certainly never been to a rabbi for Sukkot. And it was, you know, all the Baal Gadol, you know, people are busy before Sukkot, cleaning up. Do you have any spare schach? Have you got a place for somebody to stay over Sukkot? You know, when it's busy with mitzvahs all the time. And she saw all this which was going on, she was absolutely amazed, you know, what goes on in a rabbi's house. Didn't realize in every Jewish house it's the same. And she was sort of quite overwhelmed. And she said to me, tell me, Rabbi, what do you do on Yom Kippur? What do you do the whole day of Yom Kippur? I said, well, we're in the synagogue and we pray the whole day to ask for atonement for our sins. She said, yes, but you're a rabbi. You know, you don't do any sins. You know, you do all these good things that you do. You're a rabbi, so what do you do on the Day of Atonement? You've not got nothing to atone for. So I said, you think rabbis don't do any sins. Unfortunately, we're all human, and everybody does sins. Some people do this sort of a sin, some people do that sort of a sin, and we all have things to atone for. And she said, yes, I understand, okay, you've got a few little sins that you regard as something very serious, you have to atone for that. But surely for those few little things that you've got, Rabbi, it's not going to take you the whole day long. You've got to sit in the synagogue and pray for those few little things. I mean, somebody like me says, I know my sort of lifestyle that I've been leading, I could spend the whole week asking for atonement. But you surely can't take me the whole day, you know, for those few sins.
And then I thought to myself, actually, she's back alive. Anyway, still I've the whole day. Here am I. I mean, let's come out all the neighbours. Let's be honest. I'm really a big fatty. And it's true. I get up every single morning. I go to davening. I dance fill a bit Sybil. I put on my talis and fillin. I daven as well as I can. I give a stop at all. Mr. Lockham has come around. I've had to learn a little bit. At breakfast, I make sure it's absolutely kosher. I keep the mitzvahs. Every Shabbos, I keep Shabbos. I keep kashers. I don't even carry in the Erev. You know, I don't even know. I'm not a fatty to eat. So what am I doing all day long? I'm clapping, you know, a shamu, a gavnu, you know, for shamu. That isn't really me. It's just a bit of a business man, you know, to a tyler, you know, to spend the whole day clapping and banging and you're trying to eke out little sins and things like that, you know. That's what she's having right. And I said, made me think a little bit. And I came to the conclusion that probably in our situation, it's wrong for us to focus all the time on the negative and to try to eke out a few sins and a few what other bad things we've done, you know, we try to crash out a few other things to clap another case and bang a little bit more. Actually, this is all a sort of sotan that he wants to divert us from the real thing, because, I mean, we can't take much credit for it naturally because we haven't got that much opportunity. Watch, I should be Mechalel Shabbos, I should be Tzreifus, and I should get scarf or killed anyway. You know what? That's not the point. I think in our situation, probably the main thing that we have to think about is the positive side. Are we doing enough of what we should be doing? I mean, consider what the Rabbi Shalom has given us in our situation. Are we giving value for money? I'm not like an employee. A company given a good salary, gets a company car, gets all sorts of perks. You know, then they turn around and think, you know, this chap here, you know, what should he really do for the company? Are we getting anything in return for all these things that we're giving him? So the Rabbi Shalom, if you really think, you know, what the Rabbi Shalom has given us, I mean, we live here in a big country, Baruch Hashem, you know, time has never been so good for the Eden. I mean, you read a history about the golden age of Spain and all that. It's not a patch on what we are today with our equal citizenship. We can do what we like. We can keep our Yiddishkeit. We can keep Torah. We can keep mitzvahs. Nobody's stopping us. We can do our business where we want, when we want. We can go where we want. You've got even the government even pays for towards our two schools and things. We've got the opportunities, such opportunities we've got. We've got what's in medish, we've got on these shoes. We've got every morning you can start the day, the toilet away, you know. Marvelous, you've got people who are Isaac in organizing all this. You've got Rabbonim, you've got Baruch Hashem, Afanosa. We can always have a claim we should have a bit better. We've got, but Baruch Hashem, we can't really complain. And we hear stories of former times that people had to much as if for Afanosa. Baruch Hashem, you've got time, you know, we're not busy mamish from morning till late at night. We've got time to do chesodim, we've got time to learn. So the question is, are we doing enough with all our opportunities? You know, maybe we should really be doing a lot more. We can't pat ourselves on the back and say, yeah, Baruch Hashem, you know, I learn every day. You know, are you really learning enough? Are you learning well enough? The quality, the quantity. These are the sort of things that we want to ask ourselves and see whether we need to change in any way. Now, some people feel that, look, you know, I can't really change. You know, you can't teach an old dog new tricks, as they say. I've got into the habit, this is how I am, this is my standard, and this is how I go. I can't really change. Well, it's simply not true. A human being can change their habits. You've got the best dryer, you see, that's our local, soon in a few weeks' time, we start to say Mashiv Ruach. Well, you say Mashiv Ruach. If you forget to say Mashiv Ruach, you've got to go Shema Nesri again. If you're not sure, you've got to assume that probably you've forgotten. But after 30 days, then we're letting the halacha assumes that you probably now you've got into the habit of saying, so now the whole summer you haven't been saying it, but now you've got used to saying it, and then at the end of summer you've got to get used to not saying it. We can, so we see from halacha, many halachas, that we are capable of changing habits. Now we get into a new habit of saying Mashiv Ruach. If you concentrate on a little bit, you know, it's not so difficult. So, how do we go about in practice sort of getting ourselves ready? Well, if you do anything seriously, then the first thing you've got to do is you want to take a sheet of paper.
and a pen
and sit down, business like, you know, in your business you want to improve it. You want to see what needs doing in this business, which way can we improve. You don't want to sit back and think, yeah, we even need to improve ourselves.
So if a person, you know, that sits back and says, Tacky, you know, I should be doing a lot more, I should be, yes, the Shen next year, I'm going to pull my socks up a little bit.
You know, that's all nice, wishful thinking. You think about it, yeah, this year, yes, the Shen is going to be a really good year. Comes the end of the year, you're just exactly the same, you know, nothing has happened. The Satmar Rebbe once said, as the Torah said, that the Bani Shalom looks at us the whole year, Ein Hashem Lefer, Mereshis Hashono Ad Achris Shono. It's an interesting expression. Mereshis Hashono Ad Achris Shono. So he says, at the beginning, it's Hashono. You say, ah, this is the year, this is the year that's going to be a special year. And at the end, at Achris Shono, at the end of the year, we look back, it's just ordinary Shono like every year. There's no difference, not the year at all, it's the same as every other year. So we need to sit down and take out a piece of paper and a pen and get working. Really concentrate and sit down. It's amazing how that focuses the mind and you get somewhere. So we've got to do, take our sheet of paper and divide it into three columns. The three columns are as follows. In the first column, no particular order, you can make the order as you want. Then one column, you want to prepare our bakoshas for the coming year. What are we going to daven for? We've got a year now, the beginning of the year, we daven, please the Bnei Israel and help us. And we've got to think, you know, what actually do we want to daven for? You come into davening, you'll be davening the whole day in Yom Kippur, and that's on a half a day, you're davening and davening and davening. Think beforehand, what is it I really want to daven for? What do I need to daven for, and what would I like to daven for? I saw some years ago in the tour, the beginning of Hilchos, Rosh Hashanah, the Tribute of Rosh Hashanah, he's got a little remark which really threw me. It's a little remark, I don't think he meant to throw me, and he didn't mean it, it's just a casual remark, and he just says it as a matter of fact, but it really made me think. He says the following. He says, why is it that at the beginning of Shemon Esther, we insert the little phrase, Zachreinu Lachayim, Melech HaFeitz Bachayim, because Zachreinu Lachayim, Melech HaFeitz Bachayim, Matzah Tim Chayim. Remember us for life. Later on in Moedim, we insert Ukasoil Lechayim Toivim called the neighborly Secho. We find us in for a good life. And all the time afterwards, you know, Tim Solom, Lechayim Toivim, Ulla Solom, good life, Levina Makena Kosvena, the Sefer Chayim Toivim. We always say Chayim Toivim. Why is it that in Zachrein at the beginning, we should say Zachrein Lechayim Toivim? Why do we just say Zachrein Lechayim? And he says that this is the derech of tefillah, that at first we've got to ask, you know, for the simple thing, and then, you know, we get more elaborate. Very simple statement. And I thought to myself, my goodness, this is tremendous. What he's saying is this, that if we come along to the Bnei Shalom, and we come along and we start off right at the Shema, please, this year, please give us a Chaim Toivim. What of it? You come to me, you're saying, give us a Chaim Toivim. Who says I'm going to give you any sort of Chaim at all? You're already giving me specifications as to what sort of Chaim you want. I haven't even decided whether I'm going to give you any sort of Chaim. So if you come to me and say, I want Chaim Toivim, that means you're taking for granted that you're going to get Chaim. Of course, you're going to get Chaim alive. The state that I'm going to be alive. Chaim that I'm going to get. Only what I'd like is Chaim Toivim. We get chutzpah out. You have to come along like that and just take your life, as the Bochum gives our life, and just to take that for granted. You know, I was thinking a little child sees his mother going doing the weekly shopping, and they go, Mommy, going shopping, while you're going shopping, do you think you can buy me a box of those chocolates, you know, with the strawberry cream fillings? Excuse me, I'm not buying any chocolate at all. I'm buying bread and butter, I'm buying, no, intended for any sort of chocolate. You're giving me specifications of what sort of fillings you want. Who's talking about chocolate? So if you've got any sense, so you say, Mommy, please, could you do me a favor, buy a little bit of chocolate? Okay, you've been a good boy, you've been, I'll buy some chocolate. So if you buy chocolate, so then next thing you can ask, maybe you can get rid of this strawberry cream filling. But to come around the beginning, you want chocolate, who says you're getting anything at all? So this is a tremendous thing that we can't take our life for granted. We can't just take it if we deserve life. Who decides, you know, that they have life? And one said it was an advert. You know, they said, you know, buy our product, you know, and a deep voice, buy this and this product, and you deserve the best. And I thought to myself, I'm a sophisticated person, I'm not taken in by that, just because they think that they can tell me their product is the best. I don't believe it, I'm not buying this advert, I'm not taking that in, I'm not at all convinced that their product is the best. But you don't realize that you have taken in subconsciously the other half of the message, that you deserve the best. Who not told you that you deserve the best? Where did you get this from, that you deserve the best? Who said you deserve anything? Then you're coming along, you deserve the best. You'll be coming along upstairs and after me lesson and say, well, I'm here, you know, now I'd like my, you know, I deserve the best. Who told you that? The chap on the radio who said I deserve the best. Well, Aiden. So, you know, this is, you know, we've got to come along and we've got to realize we don't deserve anything. We've got no claim to anything, and nothing is for sure. Nothing's taken for granted. There's no such thing as there's no chazukas, you know. Just because last year I had life, so therefore automatically this year I'm Baruch Hashem, I'm alive. But you've got to ask for it. Everything you've got to ask, please, the first thing you want to please, you know, but to ask all the details, please Rabbi Shalom, will you give me life? So Reinu Lachaim, please don't ask me, please give us life. Every year we've got to have, you know, a new MOT, we've got to renew our MOT to be just to be able to be on the road. So we've got to, every year we've got to renew this, Baruch Hashem, hopefully the Baruch Hashem gives us it, but we've got to renew it. We've got to say, Hadesh Aleinu Shonavah, please renew, because we want a renewal of what we've already got. It doesn't automatically, because I had it last year, I've got it this year. So we've got to know everything in life can change. Just because I had health last year, doesn't mean I'm going to have health. Because I had good panosa last year, doesn't mean I have panosa this year. All the things which Baruch Hashem had last year, there's no guarantee whatsoever I'm going to have it this year. Hopefully we will, but you've got to ask for each one separately, because everything can change. That's the whole inyan of Phyllis Hannah, which we read on Rosh Hashanah, the teachers, that everything can change. Here was this Hannah, she had no children whatsoever, and at Baruch Hashem, you know, she got all of her children. Penina, she had children, and Chazal say, you know, she lost all the children. You can be, I mean, you know, you look in the world, you hear the news, biggest companies, suddenly, big companies for years, suddenly, overnight, they fold up. Things can change literally overnight. Things change all the time. There's nothing that's guaranteed. I was just this Sunday, I was dining in Bridge Lane in the morning, and there was a young boy there, and I saw he was on crutches, and his father had his arm around him. And after davening, Rabbi Weingarten made an announcement and said, I just have to say, this boy is going to be a mitzvah in a couple of weeks' time. He's lost his leg in a terrorist attack. Terrorists came and he's lost his leg in this attack. And I looked, I saw that he only had one leg, and he said they attacked and they killed in front of him, they killed his mother and three of his siblings. And said, no, but the boy's life is overnight, in a second, his whole life is overturned. The poor father had his arm around him, was holding up and walking with him. And he said, you know, we want to, and we have to share in 2 weeks' time to be by mystery, we want to help him a little bit of thing. I said, well, boy, Michelle, what can happen? The things that can happen in this world can change all the time. There's absolutely nothing whatsoever guaranteed. So we've got to know that, you know, we've got to ask. So we've got to ask for chaim. Once we ask for chaim, then you ask for chaim toivim. And if you do it beforehand, you concentrate a little bit. You think, what exactly do I mean by chaim toivim? You know, doesn't just mean I want a good life. You know, as they say, what exactly do I mean by chaim toivim? It's a good exercise, isn't it? For now, it's a good exercise to think, what do I consider a chaim toivim? To think about it and write it down. Perhaps make a few notes. Then we've got to think as well, and put down on our list. But we don't make this list come after Rosh Hashanah. Oh, I forgot about that for this and for that. We've got to think for all our friends, our relatives, people in our circle. We all have people who need things. This year, you know, somebody needs a shidduch badly. Here's a family, they haven't got any children. Here's a, you know, everybody has got needs of someone that hasn't got panosha. You've got a good friend with a chava. You've got people in your circle. Rosh Hashanah is the time to daven. Don't forget to daven, you know, for your friends. I always envisage, you know, coming after Rosh Hashanah, your good friend comes to you. No, how was Rosh Hashanah? How was the davening? Yeah, Baruch Hashem, fine, lovely bad filler, yeah, very nice, the schmack, lovely ruach. I said,
to dance for me. And you know what I need, provided you do have me in mind. He thinks, you know, why did I dance for you? I can't tell a lie. I must be honest, you know, I didn't actually slip my mind. I didn't actually, you didn't dance for me. You called me a friend. What sort of friend are you? So if, and the time that you can come before the man of my name, love him, you've got the opportunity to dance. You don't dance for me. What sort of friend are you? So we've got a thing before, and as we make our list, that's why the Ekam Rakshan can't do it. And with our pen and paper, think of all the people within our circle, all the people who we've got a diamond for. And diamond for other people is a form of tzedakah. When you say, Shuvah Tfilah Tzedakah, Mahir Nazai Zazera, so this is a form of tzedakah to diamond for other people. So this is, you know, I don't even can elaborate on this, but we haven't got time. But make a list of all the things that really we need to dance for. Then we've got to make a second list of all the things that we've got to thank the Rebbeinu Shalom for. Take a review of the past year and think, Baruch Hashem, this last year, you know, my chanos has improved, you know, my children are doing well in school. It's all the things, everybody's got things to thank for. Go through all the things that you've got to thank for, and that should be one second list. And again, you know, on Rosh Hashanah, we make a big fuss about the Shekhiyonu with a fig, and we have Kavona and Kiddush, you know, Kavona to say Kiddush, think of the fig lying on the table at the time and make Shekhiyonu. People always forget that every bracha has got two aspects to it. There's the theme of the bracha, what the bracha is about, and there's the occasion. All brokers, when you thank the Kodesh Baruch, because thank the Baruch Hu all day, and the Chomim, when the Sakha, that you only make the broker at a particular occasion. You need an occasion when you're in the mood for this broker. So when we make a broker over a lulav, you know, you're not making a broker over the lulav, that's not the theme of the broker. The theme of the broker is that we thank the Baruch Hu that he was in the Kadesh, the Am Yisrael, and he was in Kadesh us by giving us a toil and giving us mitzvahs. And one of those mitzvahs is lulav, which I'm about to perform now. But the main brachas that you say, Hashem, it is shonu the mitzvah song, it's sivonu, okay, it's sivonu, and the tilas lulav. So now, Adam, now I'm about to perform one of these mitzvahs. Or you make a boy to create. You thank the Boshem that he created the fruits of trees. Amazing how the Boshem created millions of trees in the world, thousands of different species. Every tree has got thousands of little apples, oranges on it. Now, a wonderful little bunch who created all this for our benefit. And now, you know, I'm about, you know, the occasion when we make this bracha is when I'm going to have the benefit of one of these fruits. But I'm thanking God for the big thing. So when we make the bracha of Shekhiyonu, you know, if we just have a whole concentration, I must remember in Kiddush now the Shekhiyonu, I'm making the Shekhiyonu for the fig and the table and the thing like this and that, candles, whatever, thing, you're missing the whole point. What is the Shekhiyonu? What is the theme of the Shekhiyonu? You're saying Shekhiyonu, Vikimonu, Vikiyonu, the man is there. Baruch Hashem, I'm alive. This is the case of the fact of Kodesh Baruch Hu, that I'm still alive. Okay, you know, but if all you're thinking about is to figure the table, that you've missed the whole theme of the Baruch Hu. That's the occasion, that's not the theme of the Baruch Hu. So we say, last year, this time of the year, you were damning for your lives. Zachrei the Lachaim, please the Baruch Hashem, give me another year of life, renew for me a year of life. So the Rosh Hashem granted your wish, and he did that, and he's given you a whole year of life, and he got it, you had it. So now should you thank the Baruch Hashem? So now at the end, after you've had a whole year of life, comes the next Rosh Hashanah, the first thing you say is Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem, that he kept us alive, and you're still here for another Rosh Hashanah. This is something to be thankful for. You know, they're not to thank for after the Rosh Hashanah, when you ask for something and you get it, and you don't as much as say thank you. I remember once I had some pain, I went to a doctor and he examined me, he took samples of everything, and then he prescribed a course of treatments and tablets for me, and the tablets really worked fantastically. After 2 or 3 days I was already feeling better. I decided I'd pick up the phone to the doctor to thank him, you know, and I rang him up, and he said, yes, what can I do for you? I said, nothing. I said, I haven't rang you up to do anything for me. So what is it? I just want to thank you, those tablets you've had, the marvelous Baruch Hashem, you know, the help, and I'm feeling really fine, and really you took trouble over me. Thank you very much. He was flabbergasted. Nobody ever rings me up for a thing like that. I help people, not pretend to get better, they forget all about me, and I don't hear from them till the next time they've got a bit of pain. It's very rare to get a phone call like yours. But this is what you've got to remember, is that the fact of the boy in the Shalalim, you know, for it and realize what the Shechion is all about. But the fact of the boy in Shul, for the help, you've got to thank every single detail that you make, what the Shema can see, what the Shema can hear, what you say that the Victor Miller, that he used to say in the morning, all the brokers, the Bekas of Shacha, he used to concentrate when he said, Pachech Ibrim. No, he opened his eyes wide and he looked around and said, oh, Mamsh, oh, what the Shema can see, Pachech Ibrim. So think of all the things, I mean the brothers Bethesda Shaka help us to focus our mind on this and to think of all these things and to be thankful for. We just said last week the whole Mitzvah of the Kurim, that's the theme. Thank the Kodesh Baruch Hu, Baruch Hashem, and have simcha from it. Be glad, jumping up and down with simcha. The person just thanks, okay, thank you very much. But you're not the simcha. Again, you're missing the point. It's Mitzvah Gedol Elias, the simcha from it. We've got to be the simcha to, ah, Baruch Hashem, it's wonderful, we're so happy. So, anything like that, this is what we have to be thankful for. It's in a way a bit of an Nesoyan, this is what we have to Nesoyan, the Oish in a sense, if you can say, in a community like here we're living in now, in the 21st century, you go, the thing, God, Hashem, everything's fine, it's such a danger, we can simply take it for granted, and, you know, we're not thankful, we don't have, you know, major sorrows, you know, it's the biggest story, you know, if you get into your car and your windscreen wipe is a bit smudgy and it, you know, that throws you a little bit. You know, what a shame, you know, we're living, and it's easy to take that for granted. This is perhaps one of the troubles that we have, and this is something that we have to think about. So those are the first two columns, our Bakoshas and our Hador. Our Hador is wonderful, it should put us into a great mood of simcha, but on the other hand, thanking a Kodesh Baruch Hu is mechayiva. So, okay, I've given you health, I've given you wealth, I've given you panosa, I've given you zunt, I've given you everything. So now, let me hear, what have you done for this? Or all our bakosh that we have, you've got a big list. You come along and all our requests, the Vina Makain, a big long shopping list. So at the end of the shopping list, I'm here, after you ask for all these things, you know, and you say, okay, how are you going to pay for all this? Are you paying by cash? Are you paying by credit card? How are you going to pay for all these things that you've ordered for the next year? You know, and you say, ooh, cash. I haven't got any cash. You know, ain't one of massing. You know, we've really got nothing that can show that I can give you cash. Maybe my credit card, you know, give me credit. You know, I'll pay for it later on. You know, I promise in Yes Hashem in this coming year, you know, I'll do this and that and I'll make it up and I'll pay for all these goods which I've ordered. So that's our third list, is of course what we're going to, how we're going to pay for all these things which we ask for. And so here we've got a list of all the resolutions we want to make for the coming year. And here we've got to sort of be sensible, again this is a long, each of these lists can be a whole schmooze on its own, but we've got to be sensible, we've got to have definite goals, definite measurable goals. One thing, this next year or this next 6 months I want to have learned so much Mishnah, so I want to go to Chumash Rashi, so and so much, or learn Tanakh, or whatever it is, but have something definite that you can measure, that you can come back after 3 months and 6 months, okay, right, let me have a look, how am I doing? You know, I always find on the side of the table, I always sit down and I think, well, it's exactly 3 months after Yom Kippur, this is the first quarter of the year, how is the first quarter in our business? You look around, we've had a plan, we have bigger, how is it going? Are we up to target, or are we behind target? So we have to have definite goals and measurable goals, and every area of life, you know, we can think, our learning, our governing, our relationships with our children, with our wives, with our friends, you know, are we as it should, are we spending enough time with our children, are we doing enough chesed, are we doing, you know, there's so many things, you know, we can't, in this area of life, at this time, you have to spend time with our children, you have to spend it, it's not enough yeshiva bachram anymore, yeshiva bachram sits, he knows he's got it all day long and he's learned, but now, at this stage of life, you know, so I once heard somebody said, the atu yisoel moshem lefeta shoyim meimot. I mean, what's the atu mean? Now yisoel, what the Kodesh Baruch Hu asking from you? You always say, now, at this point in my life, what is it that Kodesh Baruch Hu wants from me? Okay, my name is Shiva, it should be a big mass leader, it should be big enough. No, day. Now I'm a married man, with children, with family, with responsibilities, with parents. I have to know, am I doing enough for my parents? How's my kibbutz of aim? How's my children? How am I doing? How's my davening? Is my davening could probably be better? You know, how much can I concentrate on my davening? Very difficult, it's always lightning, and yes, I'm dyslexia, I'm going to concentrate, my davening is going to be managed. Fantastic. It's not so easy, you can only hope maybe take to the next class, be brokers of the first few years. It's very, very difficult. You know, we just sort of race through the davening. I always think, when you go in Princess Park Avenue, they've got bumps in the road, you know, to stop, you know, speeding through. So I always feel that Chazal put all sorts of bumps into our fillers, that, you know, here you've got the Mashiach, the Ruach, you've got to remember, here you've got to remember the insert the flame of the Chaim, then you've got to remember the same Melech HaKodesh, and the thing, and then the Talo Motto, and the Yalu Yogurt. It's always something, now we've got to remember to say it, now we've got to remember not to say it. You can't just fly along these sort of bumps in the road, you know, to make us stop and to concentrate a little bit. I once heard from Rav Moshe Stern, the Mashgiach, he said, it's a marvelous idea that before each drop in the Shema Esra, you just stop for 1 second and think, what is this bracha about? This is for Rechalein, this is bracha about my panosa. Okay, now I'm going to dab about my panosa. Now look for Enel, this is I'm dabbing about for a Fua. Just spend 2 seconds, as you elongate your Shema Esra by 38 seconds, but it's a tremendous exercise. Just don't carry on, just don't stop and don't go on till you've thought, what is the theme of this bracha? So there's all sorts of ways in which we can improve our davening, in which we can improve our learning, and of course anything negative that we do, you know, this you know, we perhaps might do things, a bit of lashon hara, a bit of rat lashon hara, we can improve and tighten up on, make that list, and the list, you know, doesn't need to be fixed at one time. In the course of the time between now and Rosh Hashanah, we can come, oh, I must remember, oh, of course Auntie so and so got to remember to dance on, oh no, I wanted this year, I want to do this. We can keep adding to that list and have it ready, you know, for it. And yes, the Shemin, when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, we take that list with us to Shuli and have it in our matzah, and, you know, go through it. And it's a very important thing, you know, to, as we're done, we've got plenty of time, and then we've got the whole day, as I say, but that's what we've got to do the whole day, go through those lists, think of all the things that we really need, think of all the things we've got to thank the Kodesh Baruch Hu for, and then think of how we're going to pay for it all, and, you know, what we are going to do. And so, and yes, Hashem, should hope that that finish should be accepted, and that we and all Klal Yisrael should have a good debate, your and the people of the Shema Torah.